Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest is Andrew Petiprin, the founder and editor of the Space Salvi Institute, and a real movie guy, a former Episcopal priest, now a Catholic for the last 5 years, Catholic. And he's one of the authors of the book Popcorn with the Pope, A Guide to the Vatican Film List. And he's the sole author of Truth Matters, Knowing God and Yourself. And he just does a lot of media of various sorts related to film and movies. I don't know. Are those the same thing? Are those two different things? Like a film sounds like something that Fellini made, and movies sounds like, I don't know, something that Marvel makes. But I don't know if those, maybe they're the same thing. But we're talking a bit about summer movies because it's Memorial Day. Perfect day to start talking about this. What to watch? What to watch this summer? What films to undertake? What's worth watching? What's worth missing? In the first hour, we talked a bit about the Flannery O'Connor movie Wildcat from Ethan Hawke and his daughter Maya Hawke, and that got a good review. So as far as upcoming movies that might be coming to where you are, check out Wildcat. We mentioned Dune too. Did you like the Dune movies?
I did, yeah. I thought they were very good. I guess there's going to be another one, so we'll see. But yeah, I think terrific cast. I think, you know, for all of the poverty of a lot of the big blockbuster movies, there are some really good actors working. I think Timothée Chalamet is a very good actor, and
very good,
I think some of the other cast members, Austin Butler was in the Dune sequel. I think he's excellent. He played Elvis. We talked about Elvis actually the last time I was on your show. He played Elvis.
He killed it as Elvis.
I love that.
He did a great job. Is that a Baz Luhrmann movie?
Yeah.
Tell me this. Why am I a fan of Baz Luhrmann? They're these crazy bright
Australia?
Lights, wild films. They're just outrageous, and
yeah,
I love them.
I love them too. Yeah, I love them too. He's got quite an eye. He makes really big movies, and they're not all fantastic, but most of them are. I like them a lot. Moulin Rouge, Australia, good stuff.
Wait, I never saw the movie Australia. There's actually a movie called Australia,
mm-hmm.
and it's good.
He made. Yeah, it's pretty good.
All right, I'll watch
it's
that.
Not one of his all-time best, but it is, quite good.
All right, I'll tell you what we'll do. Some faith. We'll start with this hour with some faith movies to watch for the summer because it's a Catholic radio show, and you just can't be doing all baseball and sports movies for the summer. And there are some good faith movies. I will tell you, Darren, at the break, I'm going to call you out now, Darren, was telling us about, before you were Catholic, you, just by accident, came upon the movie The Passion of Joan of Arc, and you were totally blown away. This is how Darren talks on the air. He says things off the air, and then I have to repeat them because he doesn't like to talk on the microphone. Do you want to talk on the microphone? You want to talk about it? He said no, he doesn't. But isn't that's so cool when especially with a faith movie, like something, I think there are faith movies that capture, I think that's kind of one of the things that we would want for them actually, that capture people who are not on the team already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can I stick up for The Passion of Joan of Arc since you brought it up?
Yeah.
So you asked before about what black and white movie I would recommend for, you know, for a kid or for, you know, somebody who thought they didn't like black and white movies. The Passion of Joan of Arc is a silent movie from 1928. And it is one of the most visually stunning things you will ever watch. So that is by far the movie that I would pick if somebody said, there's no way I'm going to like a silent movie. I would say, please watch this. Watch The Passion of Joan of Arc. It's actually on the Vatican film list. I wrote about it in the book, so you can get my take on it in the book if you want to. But it's a beautiful, beautiful movie. Why not watch it this summer? I mean, you know, I guess it's kind of morbid, but Joan of Arc was, you know, condemned to the stake right around this time of year, in the year 1431, May, I believe. So I don't know. I guess it's summery in that way. But
wait,
really
good
movie.
Did you just propose The Passion of Joan of Arc as a summer movie?
Why not? Why not?
That seems like an odd way to sell it. But the one thing that it's summer, you've got the time. Enjoy some things that you don't usually get to enjoy. And this is a work of art, The Passion of Joan of Arc.
Yeah, it's directed by Carl Theodor Dreyer, Danish, not Catholic, but made a beautiful movie about one of our great saints.
All right. So you got any other good faith movies to watch this summer?
Okay, well, I'm going to recommend another one off the Vatican film list, which is called The Flowers of St. Francis. Have you ever seen this one?
I can't. I know I've seen part of it. I can't remember if I've ever seen the whole thing.
Well, it's from 1950.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
Again, not a recent one.
No, but, I remember the part about the you know, the stripping and all that, but I don't remember if I've seen the whole movie, to be honest with you.
Oh, well, it's excellent. I mean, it's a wonderful movie about St. Francis and his companions. Brother Gennaro is actually just as much a star of the movie as Francis himself. But it's a series of vignettes, actually. Several different stories that are knit together, and they were made by Roberto Rossellini, who's a great Italian filmmaker, and he wanted to make it kind of in response to Europe's recovery from World War II.
Oh, okay.
He was kind of trying to make a movie that proposed something better than the era of strongmen and fascism and all that kind of stuff. And so he turned to St. Francis and wanted to make this beautiful movie. I think it's summery because it's set in rural Italy, and it's very sunny. It is in black and white, but you know, it's warm weather throughout, and you know, they're you know, running all around the Italian countryside and stuff like that. The whole family can watch this movie. It is in black and white, but it is funny. It is, you know, it is charming. It's sweet.
Oh.
Highly recommend it. Good summer viewing if you're looking for something for, you know, an evening with the family.
The Flowers of St. Francis from 1950. That was 1950, a good year for film. There were some. I only know that because Harvey, the movie that I just watched, was night, and I was told I did like Darren did, where it was just coming on when I turned on the television and I watched the whole thing. I loved Harvey. Harvey was a good movie from 1950.
I recommend that one. Yes.
Okay. So you got any other faith movies? Did you like Apocalypto, by the way?
I love Apocalypto. I would recommend Apocalypto. I think it could be a summer movie. Why not?
I think it's one of the greatest movies ever made.
Love it.
And I think it's a faith movie. I think it fits in the faith movie category, but it's not. It's subtly a faith movie. It's about good people who get terrorized by this horrible, vicious state. And then there's just a hint of a possible salvation from that whole cycle of violence. But I think it's one of the greatest movies ever made. I really do. People get mad when I say this, but I am much more taken by it than by The Passion of the Christ.
I much prefer it to The Passion of the Christ personally. I think The Passion of the Christ is a monumental achievement. It's a brilliant movie, but Apocalypto is a movie that I'll go back to many, many more times in my life. It's, I think, a really very well done story.
Okay. Have you got any other faith movies for me, or are we moving on from faith now?
Well, one more that I think is summery, because again, I mean, any movie that's kind of set outside where it's sunny, I just sue me, but I think I equate that with summer movies. Whereas, like, you know, movies that are kind of like urban and rainy or snowy or whatever, I don't want to watch those as much in the summertime. But here's one that I consider a summer movie, and it's the movie called Fatima. I don't know if you've seen that, but definitely a faith movie, written by Barbara Nicolosi. Really terrific screen. She wrote a wonderful script for that, and my children watched it actually early on in our time as Catholics, and they really enjoyed it and were really captivated by the story of the children and the miracle of the son. So yeah, highly recommend that one.
That's a relatively recent movie though, right? Mm-hmm. This is not an old movie.
Nope. 2021. So it makes it a new one.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Very good. We're talking summer movies that you can watch this summer. We've already gotten from Andrew Petiprin the admission or the accusation. I don't know what it is, but the statement that this doesn't look like there's going to be a lot of great movies in the theater this summer. And it's fun to go to the theater and watch a movie. And it would be great if there were great movies. The last one I went to was Dune. And because I thought you should see that on the big screen, and it was worth it. I loved seeing it on the big screen. But if they're not there, they're not there. So what about some other movies we can watch? And that's what we're covering this hour with Andrew Petiprin. We'll come back with more summer movie suggestions on this Memorial Day here in the U.S. right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Miss a show? Make sure to catch up by downloading the podcast, available online at catholic.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features texts of daily mass, prayers, articles, meditations, art commentaries, and more, in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church, on the web at magnificat.com.
Hi, this is Father Daniel Brandenburg from the Legionaries of Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I am a sinner, and I need to go to confession. Sometimes people think that priests don't need to go to confession, but that's not the case at all. Priests are sinners just like you and me. We need God's grace. We are all falling short of what God calls us to. And confession not only wipes away our sins, but it also gives us actual grace. So I encourage you all to make a good confession, to trust in the Lord, and to grow in His grace. God bless you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We're talking about summer movies, movies to watch this summer for the family. Maybe we'll get some that are just for adults, but we'll cover both. But all the best conversation seems to be happening at the break. Oh, you're turning that mic on, Darren. Tell us. Look, here's what we were talking about was you want to go to the theater to see a movie. You want to share it with other people. You want to have that experience and see it on the big screen and the great audio and all that, which many people have in their house now. But it's not the same. Go out in public. You know, it's a public event, the viewing of a movie. And there's some value to that. And so if there's not good ones to watch this summer, what was the point that was coming up in the conversation during the break, which should have happened on the air, but my guest and my producer decided to have these great conversations. As there are things that you can go out and watch movies, even if there's not good movies out this summer, there's good opportunities to go out and watch movies. So tell us about what happens here in San Diego, Darren, and I'm sure it happens in other cities.
Yeah, the San Diego Symphony will have screenings of old movies, but they'll be playing the soundtrack live.
And that's like outdoors,
right? They have outdoor, they have indoor.
Oh, yeah. They do both.
Yeah. And we saw Back to the Future a few years ago, and it was so fun. Just everybody in the room and the symphony actually playing.
Yeah, and there's a great movie, Back to the Future. I believe Quentin Tarantino famously called it the perfect movie. So then you get the live music. You're out with people. It's a social event. It's not just stuck in the house for another.
Yeah, the whole crowd's laughing at the funny parts. You know.
Yeah, and I feel like my wife would stay awake for the whole movie for once if we did that, if we were out. And then thanks, Darren, for actually using the microphone. And then Andrew, you were saying there's another way to go out to the movies and enjoy a social evening at the movies with other people, even when there's no good movies out.
Yeah, well, there's this one company, there are probably many, but there's the major one is called Fathom Events, and they put on to the big screen old movies. You just kind of have to know, you know, you can subscribe, like check them out online or whatever. But my wife is a keen observer of when the old movies are going to come play on the big screen. So like my family just went to see, now they're not all old, but like we just went to see Shrek 2, for example, on the big screen, like fun family family time. We went to see The Great Muppet Caper on the big screen a couple of years ago. We've seen, you know, more adult things too, like we were talking a moment ago about Lawrence of Arabia. We saw that on the big screen. So you can see, you can go to the movies and see things. You just kind of have to know where to look.
Yeah, and that's these theaters have these, I mean, now the theaters have 14 theaters or 91 theaters or something. And so often one of them will be showing something that's not a current movie. And the kids haven't seen Shrek 2 in the theater. This is a brand new experience for them to go see Shrek 2 in the theater. Yeah. All right. So how about we go through some more movies that maybe some movies for young people or about young people, about the young experience. You know, we talked about there is just something about the summer movie, the movie that comes out in the summer that also depicts the summer. The people in the movie have the same sunburn you have sitting in the seat watching the movie. Sandlot is one of those. Yeah. Jaws is one of those. But it's young people want to go to the movie. So do we have some young people stuff?
Yeah. Well, Well, a movie that I love about young people in the summertime is Stand By Me. I don't know if you're familiar with that one, but I love that one. My kids have seen it, by the way. It has a couple of little rough spots in it, but I really would, with discretion, recommend that families show it to kind of their, you know, adolescent kids, if they feel so moved. I have with mine.
Do you mean rough spots as far as language or?
Yeah, a little bit of language. Yeah. And, you know, the central kind of theme in the movie is there's this dead body that the kids are sort of trying to go and find. So there's a little bit of rough stuff. There's this gang and, you know, there's a couple things like that. But,
okay.
You know, nothing too crazy. Definitely some language.
Kids can often handle more than, I mean, sometimes I feel like we ask too much of kids, like all the light shows and the constant, you know, that we take them to, these super sensory experiences might actually be worse for them than a movie that is at a slower pace, has a story to it, and has a little bit of rough language in it or something. I actually think sometimes we're misguided in what we're protecting children from. They can handle more in some ways, and in other ways, we're asking too much of them, like making every movie a laser light show that just overwhelms the senses.
I think that's a great point. I find myself having to cover my bases a little bit because every once in a while I'll recommend something and someone will send me a nasty message that it had a bad word in it and I shouldn't have mentioned it. But, you know, so it goes. I mean, life is messy and we try our best. But Stand By Me is one that I think is worth it. I think it's a wonderful coming-of-age movie. And, you know, it's full of young guys who ended up becoming pretty famous in their own right. Corey Feldman and Will Wheaton and a number of other kind of child stars who went on to be in a lot more things. So really, really good movie, coming of age movie.
All right. Anything else? What else you got in the youths category?
Well, let me increase my age range up to more like kind of late teens, maybe kind of college age kids. Now, the classic movie, the kind of classic summer movie that's supposed to be about the kind of, you know, what am I supposed to do with my life, college age kid, is The Graduate, that movie, The Graduate. Now, The Graduate has certain things to commend it, but it isn't really one of my favorite movies. I come away from that movie feeling kind of depressed, to be honest. It doesn't speak deeply to me. But a movie that does, that is more recent than The Graduate, but still somewhat in the past, features none other than Ethan Hawke, whom we mentioned before.
Oh, okay.
And it's a movie from 1995, directed by Richard Linklater, the Texan filmmaker, and it's called Before Sunrise. It's a movie about an American college student and a French college student, an American man, played by Ethan Hawke, and a French woman, played by Julie Delpy, and they meet up by happenstance on a train, and they explore the city of Vienna together for one day. And it's just a kind of beautiful story about two lives coming together, young people trying to figure out what to make of the world, and they have all these great conversations, and then they part. Now, they made two more movies in recent years that complete a whole trilogy, but that very first one, to me, is just a beautiful summer movie, coming-of-age movie, and I recommend that to people much more than a movie like The Graduate.
Before Sunrise. I had heard of it. I've never seen it. Okay, Before Sunrise. I'll look for that one. And Stand By Me kind of seems like one that the Fathom Events people might do. That seems like one you might be able to take the family to the theater for if you feel that is appropriate for your family. I mean, I mean, there is a line between, and I don't know where the line is, between being cautious and careful and being prudish. And I feel like I locate the line at a place where I think not all listeners are comfortable with. So my prejudice there is that I like, you know, there's great, like, read Dante. There's nasty stuff in there. Mm-hmm. Like, people can handle it if it's, especially if it's, okay, let me give you an example of this, because I want to talk in a concrete way about this. The movie Father Stew, full of vulgar language, all of which I thought perfectly fit the story fine. I had no problem with. Like, I not at one point thought, oh, that's too much of this. I come out of the theater and people were saying to me that, well, I really could have done without the language. And I didn't share their feeling. I didn't share their feeling at all. So correct me if I'm wrong about that. Because I'm happy to be corrected, but I just don't feel like I don't feel morally compromised by watching people talk the way that people talk.
Yeah, and you know, those issues of what scandalizes a person are really subjective, I have to say. I mean, I understand maybe if you're worried about watching a movie where the actors themselves are kind of having to, in a sense, like commit mortal sin or something on screen, that's another matter. But the way that I watch what I'm presented with, I mean, Sai, it could be something complete that seems to 99 out of 100 people completely benign, might be for me the thing that you know stirs up some kind of unhealthy thought. You never know with these things.
Right.
So I'm kind of with you on where to draw that line. Probably a little closer to the, you know, live and let live than some people would be comfortable with. But, you know, my interest, you mentioned before, I'm a relatively new Catholic, but I'm a very old movie watcher, you know, and I have kind of too much invested in the art form and in, you know, kind of the, you know, offering to people the expression of, you know, of this art form, you know, so anyway.
I'll tell you what does offend me. And I'm curious about what you think about this. I think there are many young women in Hollywood who are pressured into disrobing for film. And I think these directors that do that are creeps. I don't like mm-hmm. them. And I don't want to watch that because I have daughters of that age. But I'm always thinking, this girl has parents. I don't understand how adult men who are making these films don't just feel like total cads asking a young woman, in some cases a girl, to do this for your stupid film. This is, I don't understand why we don't have higher standards about that. I think it's abusive. I think that just the fact that we expect that of actresses is abusive.
Oftentimes it makes the story worse as well, because what happens when you show too much is that you remove mystery. So you, instead of having a subject on the screen to admire and contemplate, you end up with an object that you then are forced to either desire or reject. So it actually can make a worse movie if you show too much.
Yeah. Yeah. So I suppose I am. I mean, I might call somebody else a prude for one thing, and they'll call me a prude for what I think. So I don't want to play that game. And fair enough if you have a different standard than I have. But I don't understand why we don't, as a society, just say, all right, you're like a 50-year-old man making a movie, and you're asking a 22-year-old woman to do this in your movie. Why are you doing that? Why, why don't you feel like an idiot doing that? Why aren't we making you feel like an idiot? I strongly believe in shame as a powerful shaping force, and I think some of these people should have a little more shame.
Yeah, maybe we all should. But yeah, I agree with you. We tend to like to draw this distinction between guilt and shame. Like, guilt is good, shame is bad. But actually feeling ashamed of yourself for certain things that you've done, that's not such a bad thing.
Yeah. All right. So I am a fan of Turner Classic Movies. I discovered the movie Marty there. I didn't even know that movie existed. And so these people are doing really interesting work over there. Not everything that they show is good. I mean, but even they know that not everything they show is good. I think sometimes they know that they're like, well, this is part of the history of film. Here, watch it. That's almost their, they're like curators of a museum. You know, this is part of it here. And so, but there's great things on there. So I want to ask you about watching some classics. Like, all right, this summer you've heard about this movie, but which ones should we watch? Which ones should we not watch?
If you haven't watched Casablanca before, watch it this summer. I think, you know, again, I don't really remember precisely what season of the year that movie is set in. Yeah. And it doesn't have to do with, you know, going to...
Well, it rains at the end, so I'm going to go with fall.
Okay, maybe. But it is set in North Africa, so who knows when it rains.
Who knows what the weather is in North
Africa? Right.
Well, yeah. The North Africans.
They do. Yeah. If you're listening, North Africans, please tell us. But yeah, I mean, it's hot, right? It's set in this like almost desert climate. It's, you know, it's real. It's just sweltering, and the people are all hanging out in this watering hole, kind of enduring World War II from afar and trying to figure out a way to get to the new world and get away from the hardships and violence of what's going on the European continent. So they're trying to make their way. It's just a classic. It's a classic. It's a love story. It's a story of sacrifice. It's a story of courage. It's got, you know, Humphrey Bogart, who's just one of the all-time great Hollywood icons. It's got, you know, Claude Rains. It's got other great actors from that era.
Sydney Greenstreet.
Yeah, absolutely. Then, of course, Ingrid Bergman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, every moment Sydney Greenstreet is on screen, you just can't stop watching him. He's amazing. And look at him. He doesn't look like a guy that's going to capture your attention, but
right.
Boy, he does. I want to talk more about Casablanca when we come back, because it has themes in it that it's mysterious why that movie is so good. But I am one of those people who thinks it's one of the greatest movies ever made. And I'm going to try to justify that to you when we come back.
When it comes to Catholic teachings about Mary, there's one question we hear more than any other. Where is that in the Bible? The answer? Everywhere. In Bible Mary, the Mother of Jesus and the Word of God, Father John Weiss opens Scripture to reveal a Mary who has been hiding in plain sight. Order your copy of Bible Mary today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
As we read the Gospels, every Christian faces the question again and again, what does Jesus mean? Getting the answer right is critical to both growth in holiness and fruitful evangelization. Want to know Jesus better so you can introduce him to your friends? Then it's time to get serious about understanding his words. Why not join Catholic Answers for our 10th annual Apologetics Conference? Learn from me the parables, sermons, and conversations of Jesus Christ, September 26th through 29th, right here in sunny San Diego. Learn from our guests, Dr. Scott Hahn and Kimberly Hahn, Dr. Ray Guarendi, Father Sebastian Walsh, Billy Junker, Father Paul Check, and, of course, all of your favorite Catholic Answers apologists. It'll be 4 days of fun, faith, fellowship, and a live radio show. Seats are still available, but going fast, visit CatholicAnswersConference.com or call 1-888-291-8000 today.
Why We're Catholic is the one book you can hand to anyone to invite them into or back to the Catholic faith. With more than 400,000 copies sold, Trent Horn's book has had a number one ranking on Amazon.com for 5 years running. Now available in softcover, bulk cases, ebook, and on Audible. Find out what the excitement is all about. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic at shop.catholic.com or visit whywearecatholic.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Hey, if you're looking for great deals on great Catholic books and gifts for dads and grads, visit shop.catholic.com this weekend. It's a big American holiday, Memorial Day, where we remember those who have given their lives in the service of this country. And so the promo code is USA25, because you're going to save 25% off any purchase of $25 or more at shop.catholic.com this weekend. Have a wonderful Memorial Day. And if you're going to be shopping for Catholic stuff, check it out at shop.catholic.com and use that promo code USA25. We're talking about movies to watch this summer. And we are on, Andrew Petiprin is our guest. And you can check out the Space Salvi Institute to see some of what Andrew does. He's also a columnist at Catholic World Report and a host of Ignatius Press podcasts. And we love talking to him about movies. He wrote a book about movies called Popcorn with the Pope, A Guide to the Vatican Film List. And he's done lots of work in doing media reviews and in-depth kind of considerations from a Catholic perspective of movies. So, and he's a former Episcopal priest coming to the Catholic Church just 5 years ago. And so we're asking him about what can we watch this summer if, as he's already told us, it doesn't look like there's going to be a lot of great movies coming out for the summer. What can we watch this summer? And so pick a classic movie and watch a classic movie. Watch one of those movies that you've heard about but haven't seen. And Casablanca is, it's right at the top of a lot of people's lists of the greatest movies, of the movies you got to see. And I have spoken to people who say, I don't get it. I don't get why Casablanca is the movie. Why do people love it? But you love it. Andrew.
I do. Yeah.
Why do you love it?
I think it's just such a compelling story. I've always been fascinated with World War II. Both of my grandfathers were in World War II. And so, you know, the story of kind of, you know, the different resistance movements and, you know, where people sort of, you know, where people were trying to stand up for what was right during that era always appeals to me. But I love the movie because it sets all of that in the context of a love story, of this sort of human drama of all these different characters that play out in this one kind of like almost like kind of crucible. I mean, they're all kind of packed into this town, into this one bar, and there are all these, you know, competing loyalties and stuff like that. So I don't know. I just love it. Beginning to end, it is just thoroughly entertaining and moving.
Do you have the sense that part of why it's a joy to watch the movie is that it has a certain resonance of being set in a place that's out of the action. The action is somewhere else. It's set in a place that's away from the action. And it seems to me that there's something that every modern person has in us, which is, I want to get away from this madness. I want to get away from this madness. I don't want to be part of this anymore. and if it's just for, I just want to not be part of this anymore. And to me, that this is the greatness of Casablanca is Rick has found a place where he doesn't have to be part of it anymore. He's free from it. He got away from it. And then because of a moral change in him, because he knows that he has to help other people, that life has a higher purpose, he goes back. He willingly, at the end of the movie, this is the start of a beautiful friendship, and he walks back into it. But I think there's something in all of us that just wants to, as much as we love the modern world and it has so many wonderful things in it, something in us wants a place we can go to get away from it. There's something horrible about modern life that we all just, could I please not be part of this?
Yeah. Yeah. And in Rick's case, I mean, he has committed himself to political causes in the past, and he has had his heart broken in the past and all these sorts of things. And I mean, who doesn't wake up one morning and just think, oh, just, you know, I don't want anything. I just want to be free of all of this. You know, I don't care who's right or wrong. I don't care. You know, I just need to be somewhere else. Yeah.
Yeah. And Rick has it, and he could keep it. He can, yep. he's got the letters. He can get away. But he chooses not to in the end, and it's different when you've chosen it than to just be a victim of it, but to say, nope, I'm gonna go back into the fight. I'm gonna stick my nose back in there. I'm probably gonna end up dead from this. But here I go, back into the fight.
Yeah. It's a classic. Everybody who hasn't seen it should see it. And if you have seen it, watch it again.
Give me some other classics. You've heard of them, but have you watched them? But these are some that you'd say, yeah, go back and watch them. This is worth seeing. Give us another classic we might watch this summer.
Okay, well, we already talked about Lawrence of Arabia for a second, but let me now really make the case for that. Lawrence of Arabia is a very long movie, and it's about a man, a historical figure, and the desert. It is a movie I, for some reason, did not think that I would like. I hadn't seen it until probably about 7 or 8 years ago. And I loved it. I think it is one of the great movies of that era. David Lean directed it. It's a big, big movie in Technicolor.
Boy,
and it is perfect for a summer viewing. I mean, you know, it's hot, it's the desert. And it is just a gripping story about this man who's just sort of a wild man and just sort of trying to, you know, fulfill his duties while also just, you know, never quite fitting in exactly the right way. It's got really interesting sort of historical information in it, but it's really just a thrilling human story. So I just love it. Beautiful movie.
A really beautiful movie. I mean, but... is it too much? Like, do people have the attention span to watch it anymore? I really worry about, some works of art, you have to have the soul preparation to appreciate them. I mean, one of the reasons I have trouble with, the Divine Comedy is you have to have been immersed in poetry and have a kind of mental patience to, and so it's hard for me. I don't know if people even have the heart for a movie from the 1960s anymore.
Yeah, that may be true. I don't know about you. I know that movies make demands on, as an art form, make demands on the person who's engaging with it in a way that other art forms don't, right? Because it's images that are spread out over time, and you're really captive to, like, if you're watching it in a movie theater, right? You're captive to the art form. You can't just like put it down like you would a book. But if you're watching it at home, you can actually put it down. And I do this all the time. I watch long movies in segments, and I don't really apologize for that. You know, I'll say to myself, I'm going to watch this for half an hour. And maybe that isn't the ideal way to watch it. But if in my kind of, you know, limited 21st century attention span, that's the only way I'm going to be able to do it, I do it. And I get a lot out of it. So I'd recommend that. Don't be ashamed to watch a movie in multiple parts if you have to.
Okay. The movie Lawrence of Arabia also is about evil. I mean, there's real evil in it. And in your view, does Lawrence become evil in this movie?
He does seem to get lost. Yeah. I mean, it's a sad story in a lot of ways. So, yeah, it's hard to say whether I don't know if I've really thought about the question in quite that way, but it is it's definitely not a story where a man becomes morally better than he was at the start, which is too bad.
But he achieves great things.
Yeah.
But what is he by the end of the movie? You know, is he Darth Vader or is he one of the good? What are the other guys called? Not the Sith, a Jedi. I don't know. Is he a Jedi or a Sith? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know. It's appropriate that you make that analogy though, because Alec Guinness is in that movie as well. So
the great Alec Guinness. Yeah. All right. We already talked. You had some other classics you wanted to get to, Marx Brothers movies, but we already talked about the Marx Brothers.
Yeah.
You mentioned Duck Soup and A Night at the Opera.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about Hitchcock though?
Okay. Yeah, I do want to talk about Hitchcock. Yeah. Okay. So just give me. First of all. All right, Hitchcock, we all get it. He's supposed to be the great filmmaker. What's so great about Hitchcock?
Oh, he's great. He is the master of suspense, as they say. He made meticulous movies that he ensured would be edited the way that he wanted. So he storyboarded everything, which is not something that every director does. He knew exactly the story that he wanted to tell when he started rolling film, which is amazing. I mean, it really is. Like the way that he sort of controlled the environment and produced from beginning to end the product that he wanted people to see is really like no other.
What does that mean? He's storyboarded.
Okay. So, I mean, it literally means he would put on boards, drawings, images of the scenes that he wanted to film, and he would lay them out physically so you could see this goes to this and this goes to this and this goes to this, and he would shoot them in a very deliberate way, because back then it wasn't uncommon for studios to take the footage that directors would cut and then they would cut it themselves. So he would shoot the movie in such a way that it was really impossible to edit it into a different movie than what he had storyboarded. So
what a weird hurdle though, like artistically. Yeah. It's like, I know the movie I want to make.
Yep.
So you're not going to have any extra film.
He was working right before the era where it became more common for directors to edit their own movies and where they had more control in the kind of auteur era. But, you know, just a masterful director. He worked with the greatest actors as well. And for me, Hitchcock equals summer. It just always has. I have watched Hitchcock movies every summer long before I had children, but now with my children, this is something that we do as well. A number of his movies really are set in the summer. Psycho is, for example, if you remember, it's set in Arizona, or at least it begins in Arizona, and the whole thing is everybody's sweltering and it's so hot, and you know they want to go into the one air-conditioned office where they can get cool. So like, and the heat is in a sense like kind of part of what creates the tension that then causes Janet Leigh to take the money and run, as it were. So that's a good one, but again, that one might not be for everyone. The ones that I would recommend to almost everyone, however, let me start with what I would put atop my list of greatest summer movies of all time. The number one summer movie of all time, in my opinion, is Rear Window. Albert Hitchcock's great Rear Window.
Wow.
Stars Jimmy Stewart and Grace Kelly. They're the stars. And it is summer par excellence. It is set in New York City in this hot box of an apartment. Jimmy Stewart's character, he's a photojournalist who has broken his leg and he's bound to a wheelchair for a period of time until his leg heals. He has nothing to do but stare out his back window into the courtyard and essentially chronicle the lives of the other people who live in his neighborhood. The tension builds when he thinks that he's witnessing some really, really crazy behavior, someone having been murdered. But then Grace Kelly, his very elegant and definitely not someone who's used to roughing it. She gets involved in this sort of hot world of what's going on with these neighbors. And it is, in my opinion, it is charming. It is so suspenseful and just thoroughly entertaining. So I would recommend everybody check that out this summer.
Great summer movie. You're right. Because I was talking about summer movies like out on the sand lot or the beach, but there's city summer movies too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great, great call. Any other Hitchcock movies that you like?
That I love. Yes, I love, I pretty much love all of Hitchcock's movies. I mean, there are so many that I think work for summer. I think that Shadow of a Doubt works for summer. That's a movie with starring Joseph Cotten. That's about this family in this California town. Really great movie. I recommend that one. But the other one that I would really dwell on for just a minute is To Catch a Thief from 1955. Stars Cary Grant. And again, Grace Kelly. Yeah. And it is so much fun. It's set in the south of France. And, you know, again, I'm not entirely sure whether it's summer or not, but I do know it's sunny, it's beautiful, and it's just a romp. You know, they're on the run, they're hiding, there's elegance to it. I mean, it is just a terrific, terrific watch. So I highly recommend.
They drive around in wooden boats. Motorboats.
Drive around, yeah. In the boat,
do you ever have this thing? I watched To Catch a Thief just because I wanted to see Monaco in the 1950s. I just wanted to see it. And Hitchcock actually gives you some of it. Like, I'll tell you, I watched the movie Key Largo because I wanted to see Key Largo in the 1950s. There's no Key Largo in the movie. It doesn't, no. The whole thing's shot on a set. Hitchcock at least takes you out to see, to see Monaco in the 1950s, that it's really something.
Do you know what is just an underappreciated thing, Cy, about movies? I don't understand why more directors don't just take a camera to a beautiful place and film something there.
I know.
Why not?
I know, right. That's exactly right. Key Largo is a terrible movie. I hate that movie.
Interesting. I don't know if I hate it, but you're right.
I wanted to see Key Largo, and the whole thing is indoors at a hotel. And it's not even, and you know you're on a set, the whole.
Yeah.
There's Tom Cruise is good at that, taking you around the world in his movies. James Bond is good at that, taking you to see wonderful places in the movies.
Yeah, well, funny you bring up Tom Cruise, because the Mission Impossible movies are on my list of summer movies, and they're thrilling. They're so much fun to watch, and you're absolutely right. They take you interesting places. You know, maybe you're going on a great summer vacation. I don't know. My family, we don't really have anything planned at the moment, but I can watch Mission Impossible, and I can go to Paris, I can go to Dubai, I can go to Prague. I can go all around the world to these interesting places and follow these people living these wild lives. The Mission Impossible movies, by the way, usually are, they do a really good job, I think, of presenting things. There is violence, to be sure, but Tom Cruise, for example, now as an older actor, he never does love scenes with younger actresses. That's just something that he just doesn't do, as a matter of principle. But there's still romance, and there's still there's still love stories going on in those movies. I think those are getting better and better, by the way, those Mission Impossible movies. I loved the last one, and there's another one coming eventually. But
not this summer. We won't see it
this summer.
Okay.
No, all right. No, unfortunately. But if you're behind on your Mission Impossible movies, why not catch up this summer and then look forward to more to come?
All right. Tell you what we're going to do when we come back. We're going to do lightning round, where you're just going to give us a quick watch this one because, and we'll get through a bunch of movies that you can watch this summer. It's our summer movie edition of Catholic Answers Live with Andrew Petiprin. Back with more right after this.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
The Catechism defines evangelization as the proclamation of Christ and his gospel by word and the testimony of life. But what does that look like in real life? It looks like St. Paul street evangelists out in the public square sharing the good news. We're a Catholic nonprofit that starts conversations by handing out free sacramentals. Then we employ our method of listen, befriend, proclaim, and invite. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Another great podcast on EWTN Podcast Central is The Word on the Word with Veronica and Melissa. It gives you a deeper look at this Sunday's Mass readings. You can go further into God's Word every week. You can hear The Word on the Word and other faith-filled podcasts from our friends and affiliates around the world, all in one place, all free at EWTN Podcast Central. Visit EWTN.com/radio and click on Podcast Central today.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Andrew Petiprin is our guest. He knows a lot about movies, and he's one of the authors of Popcorn with the Pope, a guide to the Vatican film list, giving us some summer movies to watch. We started out on a little bit of a down note, the idea being that there's not that many great movies that are scheduled to come. And movies can always surprise you. Maybe something great is coming, but there's not much that it appears to look forward to at the Cineplex this summer. So we're just looking at some films you can screen at home, or maybe you'll get a chance to watch them at one of the Fathom events, or there'll be a special screening. Sometimes you can catch them that way. And that's always fun to go out and watch movies in a movie theater, but maybe the home theater, put the home theater to use this summer. And so we're going to do the lightning round now, where we're going to get a whole bunch of movies. First, I want you to give us a pitch for one of your favorite filmmakers, French Catholic film director Eric Rohmer.
Yeah, thanks for indulging me, Cy. I know Eric Rohmer might not be a household name to all of our listeners, but I want to stick up for him and advocate for him and recommend some movies that he has made for summer viewing. He was a Frenchman, a committed Catholic, but his movies don't kind of hit you over the head with Catholicism. He just makes these great movies about people doing all kinds of things in the world. And he has made multiple movies. This is so French, Cy. He has made multiple movies. He's dead now, but he made multiple movies about the dilemma of how to spend your summer holidays, which is a real dilemma to French people. You know, they take a whole month off.
That's
right?
Why I love the French. They have it right. I'm not. They're not wrong about this. Okay. That's what this, by the way, is. Why this is one of the two reasons I think Juneteenth is the greatest accomplishment of the Biden administration. A June holiday, yes. And celebrating the emancipation of slaves, yes, I'm on both counts. I'm with you, Joe Biden, on that one.
I agree. That's something we can praise. But anyway, Eric Rohmer, you know, he makes these beautiful movies, and some of them are set in the summertime, including one called A Tale of Summer from 1996. I love that one. Highly recommend it. He made one from 1986 called The Green Ray, which is a beautiful movie about a woman not only trying to figure out how to spend her summer holidays, but what the meaning of life is. Wonderful movie, The Green Ray. Okay. And then one more is called Claire's Knee from 1970. That's a great example of where a man, Eric Rohmer, took a camera to a beautiful place, Lake Geneva, and pointed his camera at it and made something really beautiful. And it's a story, you know, go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's just wonderful. I think that's your idea. You're expressing something that I think I had in my heart, but wouldn't have ever put into words. Take the camera somewhere beautiful and make a movie. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what you get from watching Eric Rohmer. So I highly recommend him. R-O-H-M-E-R, Rohmer.
All right. So it's lightning round. Start recommending some summer movies to watch this summer. Ready? Go.
Okay, I'm calling these summer movies by my own definition, you know, but here they are. Raiders of the Lost Ark from 1981. One of the greatest movies of all time. Perfect summer viewing. Put that on your list this summer. Okay, American Graffiti from 1973. Another coming-of-age movie. Kids tooling around town, trying to figure out what to make of themselves. Love that one. George Lucas directed that one, by the way. Do the Right Thing. Let me advocate for that one. Spike Lee. Yes, it is another hot movie, urban movie. It's a movie about race relations. It's a movie about American society. It is a masterpiece. I'm telling you what, watch this movie. It is a great summer movie. Let's think. Midnight in Paris is another one from 2011. It's a Woody Allen movie starring Owen Wilson about a man who's trying to make sense of his life wandering around Paris and ends up back in the past in a previous era of Paris. Very summery, very beautiful. I love that movie. This summer, you might want to sit down with the family and watch The Princess Bride again, if you haven't watched that recently. I love that one. It's a cult classic, always fun. Here's one, an animated movie, My Neighbor Totoro, from Japan, by Hayao Miyazaki, from the Studio Ghibli. Highly recommend that one. It's a movie about two girls who move to the country with their father while their mother is sick during the summertime. And it's a movie about self-discovery and all kinds of wonderful things. It's a beautiful movie. I love that.
And the theme running through these are for you. These are summer movies.
Yeah.
And so that's the whole standard here is to Andrew Pettiprin, these are summer movies.
These are movies that for me, when I think of summer, I think I want to put these movies on. So I'm recommending them as such.
Very good. Very good.
The only other ones I would list, what about a movie marathon? Perfect for summertime. Back to the Future 1, 2, and 3. You're never going to find a better trilogy than that, in my humble opinion. But you could try to find another comparable trilogy in something like the Lord of the Rings trilogy or the original Star Wars movies. Those are great to watch during the summertime. Or if you're into Harry Potter, why not make your way through all the Harry Potter movies? All great things to watch during the summertime.
So Back to the Future, that's your top, though. If you're going to have a movie marathon, you would make it a Back to the Future marathon.
Me personally, yes. I think Back to the Future is just a peerless trilogy. I love the Back to the Future trilogy.
Including Back to the Future 3.
Including Back to the Future 3. I love it.
I thought I was alone in that. I love that movie. And mm-hmm. I guess people don't like the third movie a lot of the time. The Godfather movies, I've never seen the third movie. I've seen the first two multiple times.
The third one will let you down, I'm afraid. In my opinion, 1 and 2, masterpieces. The third one, not so much.
And Lord of the Rings, did you happen to see the TV show that Amazon made about the Rings of Power?
I watched the first few minutes of the first episode and I turned it off. I really didn't enjoy it. Did you watch it?
I watched every minute of it. Yes.
Oh my.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I would love to have every minute of it back to do something else. They completely blew it. The thing that Peter Jackson did in the Lord of the Rings films was create real menace and enormous scale so that small human stories could be told with the background of real menace and enormous scale, which is actually how human life works. Mm-hmm. And that is the thing they completely missed. There was no real menace in the background. And there was no scale at all. Like, the world is small, not big. It was a TV world. It wasn't a movie world. And so the little human lives just seem small. They didn't seem like, well, you know, like the hobbits, you seem small, but there's something great in you. In the TV show, it was like, you seem small. You kind of are small. There's really nothing really that important about you. That's the way I felt after watching the whole thing. Are you being bold in recommending Harry Potter? I mean, some people are really against all the witchcraft, and they say you'll be you'll be possessed by demons if you watch Harry Potter and all that.
I don't agree with that. I think the Harry Potter books and movies are good. I think they tell good stories about growing up, and even though it's misplaced enchantment in certain respects, I think we probably need a little more magic in our lives. And so, yeah, I'm a fan.
I would like to see you try to make a Christian movie series where the villain ends up in hell at the end. Mm. Try to make nobody would. And that's what J.K. Rowling pulled off. I think, wow. She got away with doing what you never could do in a Christian movie. She sent the bad guy to hell. Andrew Pettiprin, what a delight to get to spend 2 hours with you. I hope you have a very happy Memorial Day. Go enjoy your hot dogs.
Thanks. You too.
Although you're in Texas, you probably have barbecue of some sort, huh? You probably don't need a hot dog.
I hope so.
Really?
Oh, yeah. We can have a bit of everything.
All right. Well, check out the sale over at shop.catholic.com. Get 25% off everything this weekend if you use the promo code USA25. And praise God and thank God and eternal rest grant unto all those who gave their lives in the service of this country. Lord, let the perpetual light shine upon them. May the souls of all the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. That will do it for us on this Memorial Day. We'll see you tomorrow, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.